we present great stories from around the globe by some of the world's favorite writers in Springbok Library of the Air.
Tonight we bring you a special Christmas play by Ron Evans, Journey into Christmas. And now, Journey into Christmas.
I wish you'd stop complaining about the boy, Reg. He isn't really so bad.
I know, don't tell me. You've known 12-year-old boys a lot worse.
I have, and it's true. Look at the Patterson's boy.
I don't need comparisons, Louise. I can judge by performance, like the back window he broke this morning.
He didn't do it on purpose, did he?
Oh, I know it was an accident. But he shouldn't have been throwing a cricket ball so close to the house. There's a park opposite. He can throw balls around there till he drops from exhaustion. And knowing Peter, that could take weeks.
Yeah, drink your tea and stop grumbling.
I just don't see why we should be inflicted with him just because his mother and father want to go off somewhere to be alone over Christmas.
You know very well how important this is to Anne and Steve. For 15 years now, Steve's been trying to get Anne to give up her career and settle down as a housewife. It's caused a rift between them too many times in the past. When they broke up 6 months ago, I thought it was the end of their marriage.
Yeah, but it wasn't, was it?
No, thank heaven. But it took courage on Steve's part to go to Anne and beg her to go back to him. Of course, in her heart, she wanted to. And then when I suggested that...
Hold it right there. When you suggested...
Oh, dear, I've slipped up.
Yes, you suggested they go away together over Christmas while we look after Peter for them. That's what you were going to say, isn't it?
Very well, Reg, yes, it was my idea. 2 weeks together in a Durban holiday atmosphere in a hotel should go a long way to helping them solve their differences. I had a long talk with Anne before they went, and she's ready to give up her job now, I think.
Oh, she's been thinking about it for years, but that's as far as she's gone. Anne's a born career girl, and nothing Steve tells her will change that.
Well, let's wait and see, shall we?
Yes. And in the meantime, our house is gradually being wrecked by a boy.
I wonder what you'd have been like if we'd had children of our own.
I'd have insisted on girl.
I doubt that. Now, anyway, Reg, please don't scowl at Peter so much. I'm sure he must sense your dislike. It's close to Christmas and... Well, you know, it's a very special time for children.
A child? He's 12!
Not too old to enjoy it all the same. In fact, you enjoy Christmas too, although you try not to show it. Oh, I'll see who it is.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Corcoran. Come in. I'm sorry to bother you at this time.
Nonsense. It's only just 9.
Come along. You're just in time for a cup of tea. I've called to see you about Peter.
Hello, Mrs. Cook.
Hello.
I heard you mention our pet monster. Has he been wrecking your house, too?
Oh, no, no, no. Nothing like that.
Will you have some tea?
Yes, please. No sugar. I've come straight over because a few minutes ago I had a telephone call from him.
What?
But he's in bed.
Yes, he went to bed over an hour ago. Said he wanted to be up early in the morning.
Oh, I see. Oh, it must have been a joke then. Does he have a phone in his room?
No. So I don't see how it could have been Peter.
Are you sure?
Oh, it was Peter, all right. He said he'd run away and was to tell you not to worry. He can look after himself.
Good grief. I'm going to take a look and see if he's still there.
Peter wouldn't do a thing like that. I mean, why should he?
He used to be over at my house every day. He wasn't happy, Louise. Wanted to be with his mother and father. And he felt he wasn't wanted here, if you'll excuse my saying so.
Yes, I understand. Reg tends to give the wrong impression. I think it's because he feels awkward with children.
He's gone, Louise. The window's open and the burglar guard unscrewed and taken off. Oh, I thought it was odd for him to want to go to bed so early.
What are we going to do, Reg?
Look, I'll phone the police and get them to start looking for him.
If I know Peter, he'll be heading for Durban to join his mother and father.
Yes, I can tell the police.
No, Reg, no, don't bring the police into it yet. Peter Maritzburg isn't so big that we can't go out and look for him ourselves. And if he is heading for Durban, he'll be making for the highway where he can thumb a lift.
Yes, but Louise
is right, Mr. Allison. It won't be too difficult to find him. There is one problem, though, if you do find him.
What's that?
His resentment. Then he'll run away again at the first opportunity.
Not after I've had a long, serious talk with him.
I don't think that would do any good. And you can't lock him up like a prisoner.
I see what you mean, Mrs. Cork. But you know him better than we do. Can you offer a suggestion?
Only that you phone his parents and tell them the truth. They've created the problem. Only they can sort it out.
I've been feeling guilty, Anne.
So have I. But feeling guilty isn't going to find Peter, is it?
We shouldn't have left him with Louise and Reg. Neither of them are used to kids. You saw the way Peter was upset when we left.
Oh, no worse than he was when we separated. But it's no use going over all that again. We've got to find him.
Look, it's 9:30. And he's sure to be out there somewhere on the Pietermaritzburg Road. We can drive up there. It's only 70-odd kilometers.
Oh, let's go then. It's better than sitting here in a hotel suite waiting for something to happen.
And if we don't find him by midnight, I'll have to ask the police to help.
And what if he comes here to the hotel while we're away?
Yes, that's a possibility if he thumbs a motorist who's driving directly into Durban. I'll tell them at the inquiries counter to keep an eye out for him.
What are we going to do when we finally find him, Steve?
Well, he can stay here with us.
No, I have a better idea. But we can talk about that later. Oh, I wonder what he's doing now.
Hello, little fella. Looking in the shop windows at the things you're hoping to get for Christmas, eh?
Oh, hello. You scared me a bit, coming out of the dark doorway like that.
Oh, I was just resting a while. Some nice things in there, eh? Oh, look at that remote-controlled car. It's almost big enough to sit in.
You're a tramp, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I suppose I am. A gentleman of the road is a nicer term. A man can still be a gentleman, even though his coat and pants are all torn and he sports a ragly beard.
Do you like it? I mean, tramping all over the world and seeing places and things.
Well, I don't travel all over the world. Just around the country. It has its ups and downs.
What is it now? Up or down?
In between. I've enough money to buy myself some chips at the takeaway over the road, and then tomorrow I'll be in Durban to see what life's got to offer there.
Oh, you're going to Durban? So am I.
You are? All alone?
I'm running away. But please don't tell anybody.
I won't, so long as you haven't done anything terribly wrong. You know, wicked, like stealing.
Oh, I haven't. Honest. All I took was the £5 my dad gave me to see me over the holidays.
I tell you what. Sit down here on this step with me and tell me all about it.
All right. Will you teach me to be a tramp if I do?
No, perhaps. But tell me all your troubles, and then we'll go and buy a bag of chips between us. Hot and crisp. That's how I like chips best.
Me too.
So your mind's made up about going to Durban, eh?
Yeah. Do you think we can get there tonight?
Oh, easy. It's going to give your mother and father a big surprise. A pleasant one, I hope.
Well, if they don't want me, well, then I'll be a tramp like you.
Oh, we'll think about that when the time comes. But I think your running away might just wake your mum and dad out of their petty foolishness. Here, come on. You're not eating as fast as me.
Why do they call you Boots?
See the size of them, Peter. My boots are very big and very, very worn.
Have you always been a tramp, Boots?
No, not always.
Did you run away?
You're a perceptive little fella. Yes, I did. I had a nice business many years ago, and then everything went wrong. I was going to get married, even. And when my business went bankrupt, well, I just disappeared. And then after a while, I began to enjoy the life on the road.
You still like it?
Well, yes, I suppose so. I'm getting a lot older now, and the damp and cold doesn't always agree with me, though. but I've had my good times. Plenty of laughs and lots of very good friends.
I hope I'm going to be a very good friend, Boots.
Oh, you are already. Well, Peter, shall we go and thumb a lift to the Sunshine City?
just missed him. Half an hour ago, he went in over there and bought some chips. He was with a tramp.
A tramp? Oh, heavens, I hope he'll be safe.
Did they say which way they went?
Well, they sat over there eating the chips and caught a lift about 10 minutes ago. Eastbound towards Durban.
We should follow. Perhaps the driver was only going part of the way.
Oh, I suppose so. No doubt Steve will be doing the same thing.
Yes, we might even meet halfway.
Meanwhile, the kid will probably be sitting in their beachfront hotel.
Some of the drivers don't even see us standing here.
At this time of night, most of them are in a hurry to get home.
I wish the car we were in had been going all the way to Durban instead of just to Cato Ridge.
Oh, never mind. The next car will seem just as comfortable. And with a bit of luck, he'll be going all the way. Now, look, you stay here. I'll stand out a bit on the road and make sure he sees me. Now, don't move now.
Boots, say you're all right. Please say you're all right. Boots.
Well, Anne, we're over the hill and there's Maritzburg ahead. There's still no sign of Peter. What do we do now?
Oh, turn round and go back, I suppose. Only drive slower this time.
No, a better idea. I'll drive on to Louise's place and see if she's home yet. We can phone back to the hotel and see if they've heard or seen anything of him there.
Steve, do you think he really was running away to find her? Or just running away? You know what I mean.
Louise was positive he was on his way to Durban.
He could have gone to our house and somehow got inside.
Yes. Is that a thought? No, no. We haven't lived there for 6 months, so why should he?
It's a funny idea, Steve. He might go there to relive his memories. The happy memories when we all lived there together.
We've been selfish, Anne. Our squabbling could have seriously affected him.
Oh, I've been the selfish one.
Anne, if only we could start at the beginning again.
Perhaps we can.
Hello, young man. I'm Dr. Craig. Was it you who came in with the...
Mr. Hansen?
Is that Boots' real name?
Yes, the man who was run down by the car at Cato Ridge.
Wilfred Hansen.
I was with him when it happened. It was horrible.
Yes, I'm sure it was. Anyway, I thought I'd let you know that he's all right. Just a few bruises and a slight concussion. We will keep him here for the night and, he can go home in the morning. Now, how well do you know Mr. Hansen?
I only met him tonight. We were on our way to Durban.
Oh, I see. Just traveling companions. Why were you going to Durban, then?
To see my mum and dad. They're staying at the Casino Hotel.
Ah, the Casino Hotel, huh? What's your name, young man?
Peter Renshaw. No need to worry about me, though. I can look after myself. Tell Boots that I'm glad he's all right and that I'll look out for him in Durban.
Come back here, young man.
Why? I haven't done anything wrong.
Perhaps you haven't, but just you sit back in that seat while I make a phone call. And don't you move a muscle, right? Do you have a Mr. and Mrs. Renshaw staying there?
Yes, we do. They're not in, though.
Well, do you know where they are? I'd like to contact them urgently.
Mr. Renshaw left a Peter Maritzburg number where he might be contacted or a message left. It's 58322.
Ah, well, thank you very much. I'll call right away. 5-8-3. Blast it, the voice sneaked off. Well, he can't have gone further. Come along, answer that phone.
Hello?
Is Mr. Renshaw there, please?
Yes, he's just arrived. I'll put him on.
Hello, Stephen Renshaw speaking.
This is Dr. Craig. I have your son here. I think you'd better come down to the hospital at once.
You say Peter's still missing, Doctor?
I'm afraid so. As I told you on the phone, he sneaked out while I was trying to contact you. And since then, we've searched the hospital and the grounds without success.
Oh, dear. I wonder if he's still trying to get to Durban.
There's only one thing for it. Start looking for him again. If we're quick, we might catch him before he gets a lift. There isn't much traffic on the road at this time of night.
Don't
Tell me, Doctor, this man who was knocked down, what did you say his name was?
Wilfred Hanson.
Well, I wonder. No, it would be too much of a coincidence.
Do you think you know him?
I knew a man of that name once.
Well, shall we go? We don't have much time.
Do you mind if I stay here and wait for you?
No, not at all. We'll call in for you on the way back into town, Mrs. Cork.
Doctor, would it be in order for me to see this man? I mean, if he's able to receive visitors?
Yes, certainly you may. He's sitting up in bed as large as life and making eyes at the pretty little night nurse. I'll take you through to him.
That sounds like the Wilfred I knew.
A visitor for you, Mr. Hanson.
For me, Doctor? Well, I don't know any...
Oh, Wilfred, those whiskers might hide your face, Wilfred, but I'd know your eyes anywhere.
Is it? Yes. Edna.
Yes, you. Oh, you old reprobate. At last I've caught up with you.
And I can't run away.
Down here all night, Steve.
I will, if necessary. You know that. But I'm beginning to think it's time we told the police for Peter's sake. All kinds of things could happen to him. See how he got involved with that old tramp.
Oh, just somebody to talk to. Somebody to help him get to Durban. Think how he must have felt suddenly all alone. Maybe a little frightened at what he'd done, what he was about to do.
Heck, I feel so awful about it. Meanwhile, we were enjoying ourselves like a pair of honeymooners. We could have taken him with us. It wouldn't have made much difference. The other day...
Look, ahead of us. That must be him waving us down for a lift.
He's running towards us. He's got a surprise coming.
Are you going to...
Hello, son. Enjoying your outing?
Dad! Mom!
Oh, Peter, if only you knew how happy we are to see you.
Are you? Are you really?
Of course we are, Peter.
Then why did you go off and leave me with Uncle Reg? Aunt Louisa's all right. He glares and grumbles at me all the time.
You won't be left on your own ever again. That's a promise. Now climb in with your mother and tell her all about your adventure.
Before I do, I want to ask you something.
Mm-hmm. Conditions.
What is it, Peter?
I've been thinking about my future. I've two ambitions now. One is to be a train driver, and the other is to be a tramp.
That last ambition isn't so good.
It might be. It all depends.
On what?
Well, you see, it's like this. If you and Mum love each other like you used to, then I can stay at home with you and be a train driver. If not, then I think I'd like to be a tramp, just like Boots.
In that case... You're going to be a train driver. Now, come on, climb in. Say no more. Start crying. I won't be able to stop.
I suppose being a train driver can be just as exciting as being a tramp.
And a lot better paid, son.
Can we stop at the hospital? I want to see Boots and tell him the good news.
Yes. We're calling at the hospital to pick up Mrs. Cork anyway.
You know, that was odd, her thinking she knew this tramp friend of Peter's.
Does she, Mum?
It is possible, I suppose.
How I felt when everything went crash about my head. Oh, and I just took fright and ran.
And left me high and dry in the midst of making my own wedding dress.
That's preyed on my mind ever since. I wasn't sure you'd still want me. Going overnight from a prosperous businessman to a pauper.
I'd have stood by you no matter what happened, Wilf. I cried for 3 months and then married Charlie Cork on the rebound.
Charlie, eh? He was the lucky one.
Not really. Charlie passed away 10 years ago. But he left me very well provided for, I must admit. Oh, but you shouldn't have run away like that, Wilf. We could have faced anything together and won through.
I know that now, Edna.
And now here you are, a tramp, homeless and hopeless. We'll have to do something about that.
How do you mean?
I'll make a deal with you, Wilfred Hanson. You shave off that beard... Or at least trim it down to reasonable proportions. Wear some nice clean clothes and mend your manners. Then I'll give you a home. If And if you feel inclined to propose, I'll accept.
Huh. Just like that?
Just like that.
You're not merely feeling sorry for me, are you, Edna?
No, Wilf. You've been deep there in my heart all these years. And now seeing you here has brought it all back. Oh, Wilf, when you think of all these years we've missed...
Oh, Edna. Now, I don't know what to say. We're both very close on 60, but you've made me feel like a 20-year-old. A home, a future, and marrying Edna Buckley.
Edna Cork, you softy. Oh. I'm second hand now.
Hello. The doctor said I could come in and see you both. Hello, Mrs. Cork. Have you been crying, Mrs.
Cork? I think you've caught us at a moment when we're both overcome, speechless. I was crying with happiness, Peter, if you can understand that.
I can. How are you, Boots? Does it hurt?
Peter, I feel absolutely great. I'm going to settle down and live like other people. Perhaps we'll even be seeing a lot of each other in the future.
Fantastic. Where are you going to live? Well,
Mrs. Cork and I are going to be married.
Hey? Married?
Yes.
But you only... Oh, yes. Mum said you knew each other.
Yes, we found each other after many years, Peter. We'll tell you all about it. Your mother and father are here?
Yes, in the waiting room down the corridor. They asked me to come in here and wait for them. Say, we're going to open the house tomorrow and all live together like we used to.
Oh.
And Mum's taking me out tomorrow to buy a mountain of decorations and a gigantic Christmas tree with lights. They're going to let Aunt Louise and Uncle Reg stay in the hotel in their places. Boy, we're going to have a fantastic Christmas this year. Will you come to my party? Mum says I can have one and invite anybody I like. And you come first.
Of course we'll go to your party. If you'll come to our wedding.
You bet. Oh, Mum and Dad are a long time. Still, they were about to kiss and make up when I left them. That can take a long time, can't it?
Tonight's play, Journey into Christmas, you heard Lynette Brown as Peter Renshaw, Maureen Adair as Louise Allison, John Kingley as Reg Allison, Roger Service as Steve Renshaw, Margaret Milner-Smythe as Anne Renshaw, Reg Richards was Boots, Don Ridgway was the Doctor, and Mildred Doherty was Mrs. Cork. Production was by Henry Diffenthal.
Listen again next week for another unforgettable story from our Springbok Library of the Air.